We should never limit the Holy Spirit. We should never put him in a box. We can see how he moves in this in these unique ways in the book of Acts. We also see, by the way, people falling back with the power of God because the power of God was so strong. We see this happening in the Bible. It's also important to understand that we should not limit the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit starts manifesting in a way that doesn't look exactly what was written in the book of Acts, we should not demonize the Holy Spirit. Who are we? Who are we to say, what, this can't be the Holy Spirit? The Bible talks about that the works that Jesus did could not be contained. John wrote this. They could not be contained to the Bible. They couldn't be written. All the works that he did in just 3 years. If they were, we would never end writing, he says, just in 3 years. And now Jesus says to the apostles, you will do the things I did and greater. So also, not everything was written of what the apostles were doing. We should never put the Holy Spirit in a box. And many people demonize the Holy Spirit when it's the Holy Spirit. And that's a serious deal. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit if you're talking against the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Pharisees were doing to Jesus. They were saying he's casting out demons by the power of Satan. Jesus is. This is what the Pharisees were saying. And so what led the Pharisees to do that was a spirit, was a demonic religious spirit. When I say religious spirit, and I have a message on YouTube about spirit of religion, it's called Free of Religion. So check it out. I've fully explain spirit of religion. But when I say spirit of religion, I'm not talking about religion as Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, these are religions. No, I'm talking about the lack of revelation of the new covenant, the covenant of grace that Jesus brought. So you believe in Jesus, but you're not understanding Jesus. You're preaching Jesus, you're confessing Jesus, but you're living as if he never came. You're living not under grace. You're living in the law still. And this can be manifested in so many ways, from I have to fast and pray and then it will happen. I have to do this, I have to do this. I have to pray a certain way. I have to pray with these certain words. I have to pray for this amount of hours and this amount of times, or God's mad. And this, like, this is religion. This is under the law. But now we are under grace. We are with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us. It's not about the works that we do, but it's about his grace. We obey him and he gives us the power and grace to do things, but it's not about what we do. It's not, okay, if I read the Bible this amount of times, if I pray this amount of times, if I fast this amount of hours, then I'm going to receive this. No, that's the law. And so the Pharisees were coming at Jesus saying, you're not following the law in this way. You're not following the law in this way. You are healing somebody on the Sabbath. Oh, and Jesus removed those things. He came with this new way. And so the spirit of religion is alive today, where people have this lens of the Pharisees of, oh, that's not of God. Because they have the spirit of religion speaking to them like the Pharisees. Oh, that's not God. It's the same spirit alive today. Ah, this grieves God when we speak against him. We as believers need to repent and welcome him to have his way. We need to repent on behalf of the body of Christ. Because there's so much of this. There's so much of people being embarrassed of him, demonizing him, wanting to do things their own way where they won't look foolish or drunk, be called drunk, or, you know, put them in a box. There's so much of that. And that's a big reason why we haven't seen him move in power for a while. So all deliverances don't look the same. There's different levels. What we're talking about here is spiritual war. We're talking about the war that we have in the spiritual realm. As it says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. In other words, when someone's like really mean to you, or for example, you're not wrestling against a mean person. You're not wrestling against this person who's just mean to you, but you are actually wrestling against, it says, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so this right here, this is Apostle Paul revealing secrets of the kingdom, because this is a role of apostles and why we need them in the body of Christ today. As Ephesians 4:11 said, God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, of the believers, so that they may be used by God, so that they would no longer be babies, but mature vessels. And this will continue, it goes on to say, until Jesus returns. So this equipping through these offices will continue. It's very clear. And so a work of the apostle is to teach the secrets of the kingdom, the meat, the deeper things. This is equipping that believers need to have, so you will no longer be infants. Hallelujah. So we see this work of an apostle, Apostle Paul, teaching right now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But look, he gets very, you can tell he has spiritual sight. You can see he grasps the deeper things of the spiritual realm, because he says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He didn't just say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the devil or demons. No, he goes specifically into detail. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. And the revelation of this, what he means is that there's different levels of demonic oppression. There's different levels. And every believer has the power and anointing to deal with the lower level spiritual wickedness. It says principalities, powers, rulers, and then against spiritual wickedness. So these are actually different levels, different hierarchies. By the way, this is the principle in the spiritual realm. There is order. There is authority in the spiritual realm, demonically and in the kingdom of God. There is different levels of anointing, different levels of the power of God. So, every believer, when they receive the Holy Spirit, they receive a measure of anointing that is more powerful than the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But this power deals with the spiritual wickedness in high places. This is dealing with the lower level demons. The lower level spiritual war that's going on, that every believer deals with. The lies that go in your head, the lies speaking against your identity, the lies speaking hopelessness for your future, the lies speaking worry, the lies speaking God doesn't love you, all the lies we all deal with. We all deal with, and the enemy has different strategies of what to pinpoint, because he knows your past, he knows your weaknesses, he knows how he's used people to put you down in a certain area. But we all deal with certain lies going on. Now, every believer has power over these mere lies. When we know the Word of God, we take the Word of God as our truth. When those lies come, we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we meditate on the truth of the Word of God that is opposite of the lie coming. And we speak it out. And that can be even in the form of when you feel anxiety, that can be in the form of, Jesus gave me perfect peace. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me perfect peace. Just simply thanking God. Thank you, Jesus, that when you died on that cross, one of the things that you provided for me as my right, as my inheritance, as an heir of you, was perfect peace. You've given this to me. It's mine. Nothing can take it. And so even though there's so much feelings of anxiety going on right now in me, you know what the truth is? I know the truth. You've given me perfect peace. So I'm going to thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take up my sword of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me perfect peace. And this is how you deal with the demonic oppression of that kind, of those lies. This is how you deal with those lies. I taught about the power of your words. And so, the power you have in your words, simply saying, thank you, Jesus, for perfect peace. Or if you're sick, saying, thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I remember what you did for me. I won't forget. I remember that you endured vicious scourging where pieces of your flesh were ripped out of your body so that I could have healing. Thank you, Jesus. When you feel sickness, when the doctor says you have a certain sickness, you choose to speak this. You choose to thank God. And when you do this, things happen in the spiritual realm. Things happen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? This is how you resist the devil. So when doctor says you have sickness, or you feel pain, or you feel anxiety, or you feel depression, or you have an addiction, etc., anything of darkness in your life, you speak the word of God. You speak the truth. You can declare it out loud. You can just simply say it. God has given me perfect peace. I am healed. Sickness can't be in my body. You can just declare it out loud. You can thank God. These powers, these words carry power. These words are spirit. Jesus says, if you speak to the mountain, move, and you believe and do not doubt in your heart that what you say will happen, the mountain will move. Jesus was not lying. And these mountains weren't talking about physical mountains. These mountains are talking about spiritual mountains in your life, darkness in your life. Hallelujah. So you have power. You have power over the enemy. You have power over those lies going through your mind. You have power, but you have to use your words. You have to use the authority God's given you. When you do that, you are saying, devil, I will not agree with what you've put on my life right now. This cannot stay in my body. This cannot stay in my life because I accept and receive what Jesus provided for me on the cross. If you didn't see my message from Easter, it's called Your Inheritance in Christ. It's on YouTube now. Watch it because I teach on all that Jesus provided for you. One of the biggest strategies of the devil is to blind you from what is really your right as an heir of Christ. Yes, what I'm teaching are principles in the spiritual realm. You have to know what's yours. You can't simply know God is good, God exists, done. No, if you want victory in the spiritual realm, we have to go deeper and know, okay, what did Jesus give me legally in the spiritual realm? And how do I access that? How do I make sure I'm seeing the fullness of this in my life when attacks come? This is what I'm equipping you for. This is what God is equipping you for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then we have the different levels. We have the rulers of the darkness of this world. And then we have the powers. And then we have the principalities. And so, hey, it's a war. Like, there's different rankings. It's a real war. Like, we are guaranteed victory when we do things God's way. But when we don't do things God's way, believers are in trouble and the enemy has power over them. So there's different levels of power on the enemy's side, higher levels. So what happens when a believer or a non-believer, yes, a believer too, when a believer or a non-believer opens up doors in their life for the enemy to come in and have access. Now, this is when a higher level of demonic oppression happens. This is where demons actually like come in and reside, like we see through for this past Sunday. And yes, this can happen in believers too. Many people don't think this can happen in believers, but yes, it can. Because the principles of the spiritual realm, they still apply. Like, we have free will. We have to do things God's way. It's not magic. It's not like, I believe in God and I can just do things whatever way I want and I can just disregard the rules of the spiritual realm. No. There's these principles of the spiritual realm that we have to get in line with. This principle of closing the door to the enemy. You know, when I got this revelation, the goodness of God was revealed to me so much more. Because like growing up, when I was a lukewarm Christian, before I encountered the power of God and had this revelation of the spiritual realm, you know, I wanted to like party and do things of the world, and I didn't get like why I couldn't. Like, I just knew like, oh, I'm not supposed to. Oh, God says I'm not supposed to. And that's all I knew. And so when that's all you know, it doesn't give a lot of desire to not do it. When it's simply, God just doesn't want you to do it. You're not supposed to do it. But wow, when my eyes opened up to the spiritual realm, I could see now, oh wow, God says to not do these things because he's protecting us. Because this is how we keep doors shut for the enemy to have access in our lives. So when we go and do things in the world, it's not just like, haha, I'm being a little bad girl or bad boy and like, you know, messing around. And then after that, it's all good. Like, God forgives me. Okay, I'm not gonna do that anymore. Like, no, there's repercussions in the spiritual realm. Like, there's a door that was open to the enemy. This is a legal access kind of thing, because in the spiritual realm, there's these principles, as I say. It's like how we see things in the world, how there's laws, right? That comes from the spiritual realm. So you open the door to the enemy when you do things in the world. And so depending on how much you're opening the door comes the bigger levels of demonic oppression. So sometimes, you know, when I said, like, for example, spirit of suicide, go, and it left. And I've said many times, I've declared many times, spirit of depression, anxiety, go. And people testify, I felt something leave, and now I have peace. I don't have anxiety anymore. So now what we have here is a demonic oppression that's higher than the lowest level one, but it's not quite as strong as the principalities, in which case you're going to need to come to church. you know, and a real deliverance, like what we saw on Sunday. And this all has to do with God's faithfulness of when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. There's more revelation to be had. It's not just you'll find God, but it means you'll find the fullness of him. You'll find his full inheritance. You'll find complete freedom. You'll find complete freedom from demonic oppression. And so this woman, she found us on TikTok, and she has been watching the lives, and she came to church last week. And when she came to church last week, she wasn't like shaking. The demons weren't manifesting. But the power of God was still there. The power of God did not increase in me. Like the anointing didn't increase so much more between last week and this week. Why did they tremble this week then and not the week before? Because of this principle, when you seek me and when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. God is so faithful, but we have to do things his way, and he's not to be abused. He's not to be just like, I need a miracle, so I'm just coming to receive a miracle and then I'm out. No. So he could see, okay, come again, come for me, you know, come not just to be free, but come for me. God puts on the heart. And she came again. And now God sees, okay, she's seeking me. Not just seeking me, but seeking me with all of her heart. And so now I'm going to now make the demons tremble. And she was shaking violently as I began to pray for people during church. And then she was delivered. Hallelujah. The woman who was delivered a few weeks ago from a demon speaking out of her mouth. Once again, I don't want her to preach the gospel. She flew all the way from Massachusetts. Wow. So she was seeking with all her heart. Hallelujah. There is a reward. There is a reward for seeking with all of your heart. All the way from Massachusetts to Los Angeles, where we are here in Los Angeles. So, with these higher levels in the spiritual realm of demonic oppression, it needs, when you have higher level demons, principalities, not just any believer can deal with those demons, and the demons won't tremble. That's why there's so many like powerless churches where so many people have so many demons and demonic oppression, and they're just hiding in the people because they can't hide, because there's no true anointing power of God to make them tremble and then set them free. This is why I'm so passionate about Jesus, about the power of God, about eyes opening to who he really is and how he wants to move, because I just see God's heart grieving for his children who he wants to set free. Millions of his children who are sitting in churches that are powerless, and he really wants to set them free, but he doesn't go against his order. He's not magic. He has order, he has principles, and they're all in his word. They're all there. That you need revelation of his spirit to breathe upon the word and really get it, like what I'm releasing to you now. And this is why, you know, I believe God's leading you here, because he wants to put this heart upon you. He needs his body to have this heart of, I want Jesus to have his way so his people can be really set free and then be able to be used by him. Hallelujah. Because we can't be used by him very well when we're just oppressed our whole lives as a believer. Right? Yeah. So not just any believer can deal with the higher level principalities, but what's needed is anointing. Anointing. Anointing, the Bible says, is that the anointing breaks the yoke. The yoke is, like on an ox, is this thing on their neck, like a wooden brace on their neck, and they would be pulling people or goods behind them. And so this yoke is very heavy, they're trapped, it pushes them down, and they're stuck. And so there's yokes in the spiritual realm, in other words, demonic oppression. All different kinds of demonic oppression, addiction, depression, anxiety, suicide, sickness, spirit of infirmity. All of this are yokes. And the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing is needed. Anointing is the measure of the power of God that God puts in his vessels. The Bible speaks specifically how Apostle Paul was doing extraordinary miracles. It doesn't say that everyone was doing extraordinary miracles, and this was in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is our blueprint of how God works and how God wants church to be. But it says in Acts 19:11, this is the Passion Translation, it says that God kept releasing a flow of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Because of this, people took Paul's handkerchiefs and articles of clothing, even pieces of cloth that had touched his skin, laying them on the bodies of the sick, and diseases and demons left them, and they were healed. So this reveals that Apostle Paul was carrying anointing. He was carrying a higher level of the power of God to deal with the higher levels of demonic oppression, the bigger strongholds of sicknesses, the demons inside of people. That's why they were specifically taking handkerchiefs and putting them on Paul, not everybody, but on Paul. And we see this all throughout the Bible. We see this from Elijah, and then we see Elisha. We see Elijah imparting anointing to Elisha. They were doing unique, powerful miracles, specifically them. We see Moses doing these mighty miracles. Then we see Joshua positioned himself in a place where anointing was, where the power of God was flowing, humbled himself and positioned himself there. And then God released this power of God anointing from him to Joshua. And Joshua is now walking in miracles. So this is how God works. This is his order. He has such order. He's not a God of chaos and confusion and we do things any which way. But he has order. He has this way of doing things. And this is when things work. This is when demons are cast out, when we do things in God's order, not just whatever way we want. So it then goes on to say, Acts 19:13, now there were 7 itinerant Jewish exorcists who took it upon themselves to use the name and authority of Jesus over those who were demonized. They would say, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." One day when they said those words, the demon in the man replied, "I know about Jesus and I recognize Paul." Another translation, NIV, says, "Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Now these guys, they believed in the power of Jesus. It's not really like they were like evil people. They believed in the power of Jesus and they were using the power of Jesus. They were trying to deal with demons that they weren't called to deal with. So they didn't have the higher level of anointing that Paul walked in. And these demons were not the lower level demons, but they were the rulers or the principalities. And so notice that they said, this is in the book of Acts, it said, the demons are saying, "We know Jesus, we know Paul, meaning we know Jesus, his power is what casts us out. And we know Paul. Paul carries the power of Jesus anointing. And when we get close to Paul, we tremble like we did with Jesus. And we're cast out because of the anointing in Paul. So that's why demons hide, but then they tremble certain places. And that's why we saw on Sunday, she's shaking so much. The demons were trembling so much because they were in the presence of anointing. Hallelujah. So it's important that we get in line with God's way. It's important that we don't just do things whatever way, but really try to understand how these things work. God has different callings for everybody. He wants you to walk in anointing. He wants every single believer to carry the power of God. Not every believer has the calling to be like Apostle Paul and deal with principalities. But every believer, God is calling you to deal with the with some levels of, and everyone has a different calling. The gifts of the Spirit are poured out on everyone. So some of you, God's anointed you to care, have the gifts of healing. Some of you, God has called you to be ministers. And when you are a minister, and when you're in office in the fivefold ministry, you will have anointing. God will put, you will be called to walk in anointing that deals with the higher levels. But some of you have different callings and aren't called to be ministers, but you're still called to carry the power of God. Some of you are called to have the gift of healing. And when you touch and pray for people, they will be healed. You may not be called to be a minister, but you're still called to have that gift. God wants every one of you to carry anointing that works in your life, that's different from just any believer with no anointing, but real power of God in you, so that when you speak to someone, your words carry anointing, they carry power on them. So when you encourage them, someone having a hard time, your words really have power. Your words carry power more than like a counselor who doesn't carry the power of God. Someone who's a professional in helping people psychologically. But you carry the power of God. So when you encourage them, when you speak God's truth, when you say darkness to go in that person's life, power of God anointing will flow through you and will deal with demonic oppression of that person. That's what God's calling you for, calling many of you. God wants his whole body to walk in the power of God. All different callings, all different levels. Some are called to deal with the higher ones. Some are called to deal with the lower ones. But we're all called to walk in this power. Hallelujah. And the way to walk in the power of God, to receive this anointing in your life, is to do what Elisha did, is to do what Joshua did, is to do what Timothy did. Timothy positioned himself to be in a place where the power of God was moving. Apostle Paul walked in this extraordinary anointing, and he positioned himself there to receive impartation so that he would be equipped for his eyes to open up spiritually, to get in line with God's order and way, to receive this heart of Jesus. To receive anointing, we need to have God's heart. God will not release power of God to people that just are power hungry, that want it for the wrong reasons. No. We have to have Jesus' heart. And so this is why you need to make sure you're planted in a place, your position, whether it can be virtually too, it doesn't have to be physically, but you're positioned in a place
where Jesus' heart, his words, his power is really flowing. Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. So this is so important. Your heart needs to be molded into Jesus' heart. So your eyes need to be opened up in the spiritual realm. These things, the eyes opening up, the heart being molded, is what God sees as someone who is trustworthy to deposit anointing in. This anointing is very valuable and precious, and he doesn't give it to just anybody because it's real power, and so it can be used for harm. It's real power because he gives us free will. So Jesus will release anointing when your heart is molded to his. When you have this heart for his people, when you have this heart to serve him, when you have this heart of, I want your anointing, Jesus. I want your power of God so that I can serve you best, so that you can use me to set your people free, to heal your people, to release your word to people, Lord. This is why I truly want this anointing. When your heart's gotten to that place, Jesus says, okay, I see I can entrust you with this now. And he will then release. But you can't, and when your eyes are open up in the spiritual realm, where you can grasp and understand how things work, so you don't open up doors to witchcraft by trying to prophesy in whatever way you want, for example. Like, there's things in the spiritual realm of we can't just like go and just do things any old way, but our eyes have to open up to how God's authority works, how he wants us to really serve him. Our eyes have to open up so we're doing things God's way. Like notice how the woman was free on Sunday, and a few weeks ago, the other woman who traveled from Massachusetts to LA here, they were free because they came to church. There are principles in the spiritual realm. This is one of the principles in the spiritual realm that we need to know about authority, is that we can't go and like force deliverance on somebody, because the person has to be willing to receive it. This is a principle. It's just one of those like laws that we need to get in line with, or it opens up a door for the enemy because we're doing things out of the order. Someone has to be willing. That's why so many miracles are happening on these lives, because you're positioning yourselves to receive, and I have been given authority by Jesus Christ now. So God has authority over you now here. It's like you are saying, okay, you can have your way in me, God. I'm positioning myself here. So you cannot receive anointing power of God if your eyes aren't open to how things work, so that when your eyes are open, you can understand, this is how I walk in this anointing. This is how I do things God's way and don't break laws in the spiritual realm. And I don't open doors for the enemy. Hallelujah. And you need to have Jesus's heart. So you cannot receive anointing power of God if you're not positioned where you see that happening from the head flowing down, from the leadership. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I also wanted to mention how, wow, there was this woman who was set free this past Sunday. There was a woman who was set free a few weeks ago. And the demons said the same thing out of both of them. I don't want her to preach the word of God. I don't want her to preach the gospel. Wow. First of all, look how this reveals we really are in a spiritual war. This reveals, look how powerful the word of God is. Look how powerful when it is spoken and released to others, how powerful it is, that is what is the demons are trying so hard. That's why they're tormenting, because they're trying to stop them preaching the gospel. So these things that you're facing in your life, these things that you're facing in your life, the oppression you find in your life, you find depression, you find anxiety, you find addiction, you find sickness, these things that you're dealing with, it's time to get those lies out of your head that say that you did something to deserve this, that God's allowing this to happen to you because of what you did. Or you're just not special, so God's not saving you. All these lies about why this oppression is happening in your life. It's time to get those lies out. And now, may your eyes be opened up as we witness demons speak out loud. Two examples within a few weeks. We witness with our own eyes demons speak, I am oppressed, trying so hard to torment this person because I don't want her to preach. God wants to use you powerfully for his kingdom. Oh, he sees you as worthy. He sees you as worthy. He sees you as enough. He sees that you have everything you need to use you powerfully in the kingdom. Yes. And that is why the enemy has tried in your life. That is the reason. We have demons revealing this to us right now. That is the reason. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of this dark world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Why are they wrestling you? Because they don't want you to be used by God, because you are called to be used powerfully by God, because that's God's will for your life, because you are powerful when you serve God, when you obey God. You are powerful. You destroy the kingdom of darkness. When you choose to be used by God, you are powerful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, this revelation, allow it to give you strength and motivation whenever the attack comes. Oh, it's because the enemy sees my heart. The enemy sees how powerful I am through Christ. The enemy sees God's in me and the plans for me. And the enemy is terrified of what God will do through me. I'm a powerful vessel of God that God has chosen. And that's why. That will give you strength and power to resist the enemy, to keep seeking God, to receive your full freedom. When you can see in the spiritual realm that it's a spiritual war, not a flesh and blood. You're not the victim. It's not an equal war. You didn't deserve it. No. It's because the enemy is terrified of what you will do for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.